Thank you, Josh, for that very appropriate music for today. Good morning, everyone, and it's great to be with you here in the Dublin Unitarian Church in St. Stephen's Green, whether you're here in the church or looking in from home, or you might be listening in later on the website. Now, while we are in the process of selecting a new minister, members of the congregation are leading the weekly service, and it's my turn to lend a hand today. So let's take just a few seconds to bring ourselves to become present, bring ourselves into the present moment, leave aside the worries of the past and our concerns about the future, just for a few seconds, to become present. Our opening words today come from Leonard Cohen. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. Let us pray. God of our confused, mixed up and often chaotic world, be with us as we navigate the ocean of life. Keep us safe from extreme danger, from rocks that might bring a premature end to our journey. Guide us safely through the storms of this life, and at the end, bring us safely home. Amen. So now we have our chalice lighting. Wherever Unitarians come together in prayer or exploration, a candle is lit. This is a beacon of light for moments of darkness, a symbol of hope in times of despair. As we gather here in our diversity, we seek inspiration to plant gifts of love, kindness, reason, and understanding in the garden of the world. And now we'll have our first hymn, number 271, Come Down, O Love Divine. Let us pray. Spirit of grace and renewal, we come before you bearing the cracks of our lives, the fractures of loss, the scars of struggle, the breaks that remind us of our humanity. Grant us the courage to embrace our cracks and fractures and to know that wholeness does not mean perfection. Amen. And now we'll say together the words that are printed on the inside cover of the back of our hymn book. These words remind us of the shared principles that we Unitarians try to apply in our lives. Love is the doctrine of this church. The quest of truth is its sacrament, and service is its prayer. To dwell together in peace, to seek knowledge in freedom, to serve mankind in fellowship, to the end that all souls shall grow in harmony with the divine. This do we covenant with each other and with God. And our reader today is Andrew.
Morning, everyone. When I'm out running, I quite like listening to Sunday Miscellany on my Spotify. And I was out a few weeks ago and I listened to the back ones. And I heard this poem, and it just touched me, so I thought I'd share it with you. It's written by a poet called Feli Speaks. And Feli Speaks was born in Nigeria and came to Ireland with her mother in 2003. And she was in several direct provision centers. And this poem is called, and actually she's come a long way in her poetry life. She was actually on the Leaving Cert curriculum a few years ago, and she's won loads of accolades. But this poem is called Dublin, A Poet's View. Now, you'll have to forgive me because she reads it fantastically with her accent and everything, so I'll do my best. So Dublin, A Poet's View. When my feet were still forming and my wits were just beginning, I heard of Dublin and I would gasp. When childhood teeth were still milky and my eyes were heavy with schoolbooks, fingers following lines to read, schoolgirl charm still developing. When pen was still approaching paper, timid and unsure, I heard of Dublin. when train rides were still adventures and train tracks carried you to more than a destination, when metal bullet tanks took people at speed, whatever was less than light, I heard of Dublin. When permissions were something sought from every adult with wisdom-wick lines around their eyes. When life was something vertically leaning, looking up to light grey fluffing heads, I followed and obeyed. When dreams were something took from sleep and wonder was anything found on the internet, I heard of Dublin. When Dublin was the home of every grand decision my mother had to comply with, when her hands shook with letters she interpreted in friendship groups, they arrived from Dublin. When the hallways hushed with contemplation amongst family members, the answers were always in Dublin. When my rewards were sweetest, they took me to Dublin. Shopping centres, buildings tall and fat and thick and old and fun, engulfed in Bambi feet. Everything towered in Dublin. Everything spun in Dublin. Everything mystified and demystified in Dublin. The spire called all of us, every friend and I, to claim it as our centre, our starting point, our remembrance spot, our forget-me-not, our find-me-here, our saving grace, our on-your-marks, our get-set, our go. I met Dublin properly, wide-eyed. The big city, the country girl, couldn't capture in a stare. I spent time in Dublin like a guest. I hid in its outskirts and took to it when I sought answers, when letters were complex, when poetry asked me to stretch, when job interviews were up next. I took to Dublin with much respect, and it tossed me sometimes and humoured me. Sometimes it allowed me to swallow street names. With time charmed me into recognising the best place to get this, the best place that happened, the only place to get this belonged here. I finger-pointed actualities to guests who hadn't met Dublin at all. I knew Dublin, like the family friend you end up calling cousin. Close enough, just about. Dublin and I could be merry when we met, and I didn't have to watch my bags around Dublin. I didn't have to watch myself around Dublin. I didn't have to use my inside voice in Dublin. I didn't even always have to have enough coins. And Dublin, with the wherewithal, would take me as happy as I am, but I would take her too. I was happy for Dublin to take, phone or otherwise. I knew Dublin well enough at this stage. We bumped shoulders and we would wink at each other. It was harmless. For a long time, Dublin's sharp teeth never sharpened in my direction. That lion only tears away at the bastard child in his pride. My milk teeth were spot here. My Bambi feet had run here. My oar gasped outside Connolly Station. My adult hands had toiled here. I even lived here. Tram lines through neighbourhoods on tracks. I knew it. I knew Dublin. I knew it so well, till I didn't. I saw Dublin till it blurred my vision. I could say her name and not have to whisper. And now I am hoarse. Dublin has become my bogeyman. I stare at Dublin, want to cradle her. Dublin slaps my hand away. Dublin slaps many hands away. COVID took her beauty and textured her skin with men in need of arms. The ones Dublin couldn't feed, couldn't save. Dublin, this heaving with the unremembered, determined to be seen. Dublin is shaking with the memory of safety now out of reach. Dublin is throwing out its own children, sending them away. Dublin keeps telling all of us, I have no more space. Dublin cannot hold any of us softly anymore. Dublin is making us hard. Dublin is making us scared. Dublin is closing its doors that took us in. It is spitting coffee beans at us, faxing hotel receipts, HQs and HQs with so much as no father in their names. Dublin has been through worse before we came. Dublin will go through better when we leave. Thanks.
That was super, Andrew. Thanks very much, Andrew, for that. Now it's time for the children's story, which I'll read from here. Once upon a time, in a quiet village in Japan, there lived a wise old potter named Mr. Hiroshi. He was famous for creating the most beautiful pottery in the world. One day, a little girl named Emmy visited his shop. Emmy was downtrodden as she walked slowly in. She was sad because her favourite teacup, given to her by her grandmother, had fallen to the floor and had broken into pieces. With tears in her eyes, the little girl showed the broken pieces to Mr. Hiroshi. "Can you fix it?" she asked. Mr. Hiroshi smiled gently. "Of course, my dear, but I'll not just fix it. I'll make it even more beautiful." He took out a small jar of golden lacquer and carefully began to put the pieces together, filling each crack with gold. As Mr. Hiroshi worked, he explained, "This is our art of kintsugi. It teaches us that when something is broken, it can be repaired with love and care, and it can be made even more beautiful." When the work was finished, the teacup was even more beautiful than before, with golden lines showing where it had been repaired. "Oh, thank you very much, Mr. Hiroshi," Emmy said. She was so happy. The old man nodded. "But remember, Emmy, life is like this teacup. We all face moments when we feel broken. But those cracks, when we heal them, can become our strength and our beauty." Mr. Hiroshi gently handed the teacup to Emmy. She left his shop feeling so much happiness. A little while earlier, she'd walked slowly and sadly into the shop. Now she danced excitedly all the way home. And now it's time for our second hymn. And to celebrate Emmy's happiness, it has to be number 311, "Let It Be a Dance." For my reading, I've chosen some excerpts from the Tao Te Ching, attributed to Lao Tzu. "If you want to become whole, let yourself be broken. If you want to become straight, let yourself be bent. If you want to become full, let yourself be empty. If you want to be reborn, let yourself die. If you want to be given everything, give everything up." Let us pray. Spirit of life, teach us to see beauty in brokenness. May we learn to mend with care what is cracked and damaged. Let us not hide what has been broken, but show it with pride, so that others may know that beauty can emerge from brokenness. Amen. So now I'd like to share a short period of meditation and reflection. So let's all make sure we're sitting comfortably. You might like to close your eyes. You don't have to, but close your eyes if it suits. You might prefer just to direct your gaze downward to avoid distraction. And we'll begin by paying attention to our breathing. On each out-breath, the idea is to see if we can bring ourselves to a deeper sense of relaxation. So breathing in. And on the first out-breath, relaxing the shoulders, just letting the shoulders relax. Breathing in again. And this time on the next out-breath, relaxing the muscles of the face. Just relax the jaw. Just feel relaxed. And again, breathing in. And on the next out-breath, leaving any worries of the past where they belong. In the past. And finally, breathing in. And on the next out-breath, leaving any concerns about tomorrow in an imaginary box marked tomorrow. And now just relaxing and becoming present. Bring yourselves really into the here and now. In this moment of quietness, I become aware of the beautiful, fragile nature of my existence. My life that has been shaped by time, with all its cracks and all its repairs. Without any action on my part, I find myself a living, imperfect being in this world. But imperfect as I am, I know that I am part of the tapestry of life in all its diversity. I think with gratitude of the cracks that have shaped me, often against my will. The golden threads of love and care that have mended me. I give thanks for the people who gave birth to me. The people who nursed me through life's fractures. The people who see my flaws and still love me. Their acceptance filling my cracks with gold. Our existence in this world is a gift beyond measure. The result of countless moments of breaking and mending, stretching back to the beginning of time. A reason to say thank you and thank you again and again. Now we'll have a period of quiet which will be brought to an end by Josh playing a piece of music. And the ending of that piece of music will be our signal to open our eyes and just come back into an awareness of our surroundings. Thank you very much, Josh. The title of today's address is Cracked, Not Broken, and the address is based around the Japanese art of kintsugi. The word kintsugi means golden joinery, a technique that involves mending broken pottery with lacquer mixed with powdered gold, silver or platinum. It's an ancient practice, and it does not only restore the item, but by highlighting the cracks and imperfections, it also transforms the damaged piece into a work of art. But kintsugi is more than just a method of repair. The practice illustrates a philosophy that teaches us the beauty of imperfection and the value of resilience. And amazingly, this approach can be applied to many different aspects of life. It begins with the idea of fixing broken objects, but we see that it can also be applied to the idea of recovery and personal growth. The kintsugi principle also has application in business, and it has lessons for us when it comes to organising society. In our throwaway world threatened by climate change, we need to practice the art of kintsugi. It even has lessons for us when it comes to politics. So moving first beyond the minor matter of broken pottery, notice how in our daily lives we often strive for perfection. We can come to believe that flawlessness is the key to success and happiness. But the philosophy of kintsugi reminds us that imperfections are not only inevitable, but also valuable. How many of our shelves and presses are occupied by sets of crockery, now missing cups and saucers and plates and bowls? And have any of us here managed to hold on to an unbroken set of drinking glasses? Cracks and breakages happen regularly in the case of cups and saucers. They also happen to us in the course of our lives. We could avoid breakages by doing absolutely nothing, but where would that leave us? So, looking at our own lives, we can see that by accepting and embracing our flaws, we can be helped by the practice of self-acceptance. When a kintsugi expert mends the crockery, we see the golden lines of the repair. Here are some samples of the repairs. I'll leave some of these on the table afterwards so that people can see them, but this is the idea. So it's better than it was in the first place, as you can see. I'll leave them on the table afterwards. These visible lines add character and uniqueness to the object. And in the same way our imperfections contribute to our own individuality, they make us who we are. Life is filled with challenges and setbacks. These can leave us feeling broken and defeated. But the practice of kintsugi reminds us that healing is possible and that we can emerge stronger and more beautiful because of our struggles. And just as the broken crockery doesn't have to be thrown out, we with our imperfections don't need to be written off. Kintsugi also teaches us the importance of emotional connection and relationships. Just as a repaired piece of pottery holds a story and a history, our relationships are enriched by the experiences and challenges we all face. By valuing the cracks in our relationships, we can build stronger and more meaningful bonds with the people we know and love. The kintsugi idea can be applied to business as well. Companies often face setbacks and failures, but these challenges, if looked at objectively, can be used as opportunities for growth and improvement. We all remember the story attributed to Thomas Edison. When discussing his many attempts to invent the electric light bulb, Edison reportedly said, "I haven't failed. I've just found 10,000 ways that won't work." This illustrates his perseverance and his determination in the face of what might be seen as repeated failure. Amy Edmondson is a professor at Harvard Business School. She's a leading researcher on psychological safety in the workplace. She urges businesses to create an environment where employees feel safe to speak up, to draw attention to issues, mistakes, or potential risks without fear of blame or retribution. She emphasizes that where employees raise concerns early on, It helps organisations address problems before they escalate. It then becomes a matter of celebrating cracks rather than hiding brokenness. An attitude of kintsugi for business, where everyone is encouraged to draw attention to the cracks, can save an organisation from disaster. How many times do we hear from people who have suffered an injury due to medical negligence? They frequently tell us that all they required was an apology and an acceptance of what happened, along with an assurance that steps will be taken to avoid a recurrence so that someone else won't suffer the same pain. In many cases, compensation is way down the person's list of priorities. The kintsugi idea also has application to society in general. By embracing the beauty of imperfections, we can learn to appreciate the varied backgrounds and experiences of all the people who make up our communities. This mindset encourages a culture of acceptance and inclusivity, where differences are celebrated rather than judged or feared. The kintsugi philosophy reminds us that it's okay to be different. It is okay to be imperfect. We learn that healing is possible and that healing is a beautiful process. By promoting this mindset, we can reduce the stigma surrounding things such as mental illness, and we can encourage individuals to seek any help and support they might need. We can all benefit by being reminded that we are cracked, not broken. The practice of kintsugi also ties in with the idea of environmental sustainability. In our throwaway culture, broken items are often discarded without a second thought. Kintsugi encourages us to repair and restore rather than click a button and replace. And isn't it great to see the idea of repair cafes taking hold? These are places where people can bring in broken items for repair. And we learn to appreciate the craftsmanship involved in carrying out repairs. In repair cafes, you'll find volunteers who'll carry out repairs where possible, and people can be taught to carry out their own repairs. In the political sphere, the philosophy of kintsugi can encourage transparent and accountable government. Isn't it refreshing when we see a government minister admitting that mistakes have been made, and not hiding behind words and excuses? The art of kintsugi is believed to have originated in 15th century Japan. The story goes that Yoshimasa, a military ruler, sent a broken tea bowl to China for repair. It was returned, mended all right, but with unsightly metal staples, which seems to be a commonplace method of repair at the time. Roshimasa was dissatisfied with this, and he asked Japanese craftsmen to find a more aesthetically pleasing solution. They developed the art of kintsugi. This technique of using lacquer mixed with powdered gold, silver or platinum to repair broken ceramics. This approach not only restored functionality, but it also enhanced the object's beauty by emphasizing its flaws. And now, centuries later, when we think of this idea of celebrating the fixing of brokenness, we can see that it has application not only to cups and saucers, but to so many aspects of everyday life. In summary then, kintsugi reminds us that nothing and no one is beyond repair. Amen. And now we're going to have our third hymn, which is hymn number 95, and this will be followed by the offertory. Hymn number 95, There Is More Love Somewhere. Thank you. Thanks, Josh. So now announcements and thanks. First of all, I want to thank everyone for being here. Without a congregation, we wouldn't have a church community. So thank you all for being here on such a miserable day outside. And a big thank you to the people who work behind the scenes. So many people work behind the scenes so that things will work smoothly through these services. So thank you, everyone. We have a rota of volunteers looked after by Grainne. And if anyone would like to lend a hand, just have a word with Grainne. While we're in the process of selecting a new minister for the congregation, members are taking the services and new voices are always welcome. There's help available when it comes to putting a service together. And it can be a joint operation. One person may be looking after the address, someone else looking after everything else. You can even begin by just volunteering to do a reading so as to get the feeling for it. If you'd like to volunteer, just have a word with Bridget or Gavin. We'd love to hear what you have to share with us. And now some dates to note. We have our weekly Wednesday lunchtime reflection available in the church and online, led by Pam. That's from 1 p.m. to 1:30. Tea and coffee afterwards. You don't have to wait until Wednesday, of course, for the tea and coffee. It's already been prepared downstairs. The kettle is boiling. So drop down and have a chat with us, especially if you're here for the first time. The book club will be meeting on Wednesday in the vestry at 7:30 p.m. All welcome. The books for discussion this month are Hotel de Lac by Anita Bruckner and Butter by Azaka Yuzuki. And now before our blessing, we'll have our fourth hymn, number 129, Let Love Continue Long. God of renewal and transformation, remind us that there is a crack in everything. Teach us to cherish each broken piece of our lives. Help us to understand that beauty lies not in perfection, but in the strength and resilience we exhibit as we heal. Grant us the patience to mend what is broken, the courage to embrace our flaws, and the wisdom to notice the divine beauty in our repaired selves. Amen.
Every morning.